This episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast is just brought to you for and by Patreon supporters. Patreon.com/JURY. Let's just get into this bonus episode.
First we're gonna rock, then we're gonna roll, then we let it pop, don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. First we're gonna rock, then we're gonna roll, then we let it pop, don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, fuck with for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to ya.
In the day, this is a little bonus episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast. We did a brepisode last week, and this week we're going to be a little bit late because I'm traveling. So I feel bad. All right, I feel bad, and I'm like, you want to know what? This is my job now. This is a job that I take very, very seriously. I want to take care of the people that take care of me, specifically everybody who donates to patreon.com/JURY, getting the best goddamn deal in the internet. This and the politics podcast at no extra cost for whatever price you see fit. I'm like, I got to take care of my people. And I've had this buildup of these emails, because as soon as we started reading these sordid tales of sex and betrayal that we call X Gonna Give It To You, where you talk about the failed relationships that you've had and the trials and tribulations that have brought you to the fact that you are now writing a stranger on the internet because your relationship has taken a wrong turn, skidded off into a ditch, and blown up in some gigantic fireball. I got too many of them. And they're really long, like so long. I'm going to read as much of these as I can. But like, you're going to figure out, man, real quick. I'm reading a goddamn audiobook. Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program. That being said, I'm like, all right, I'm going to sit down after DTNS, which records at 1:30 Pacific time every day, every weekday. You can mostly just tune in on Thursdays when I'm on it. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take care of this. Then I went and made a mistake. I had to go mail something, so I walked on down to the post office, and I'm like, well, you know, while I'm out, I should just grab something to eat. So I decided I was going to go eat some Chipotle. Now, I do like Chipotle. I think it's pretty good, even if they've non-GMO'd their products to the point where they're now only rat poison. But beyond that, I really like Chipotle. I think it's really great. And so I sat down and I ate some Chipotle. Now, if I just sat down and ate some Chipotle and then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to answer emails for 2 hours. All right. Okay, cool. Because it is a slothful food. Certain kinds of foods, heavy foods, sit in your stomach, literally and figuratively weigh you down. Chipotle is one of them. Like, it is very, very, very prescient of them that they wrap it up in this big, gigantic, what looks like a gigantic lead anchor. Because then I put all of it in my mouth, I eat it all, and then I'm like, oh, okay, well, don't worry, Justin. Now all you have to do is get your Irish up, come on over here in front of the old Lumix camera in the set here in Oakland, California, and make yourself a bonus podcast. Well, I'm just going to let you know, folks, I'm struggling. I mean, call me Joe Namath because I am struggling to put together a show that I hope you guys will like. But good news is I don't really got to do a whole lot of the singing for my supper here on this episode. It's the X Gonna Give It To You podcast. So we're just going to play, we're going to read these stories. Let's just go ahead and start it off, man. I feel like I'm going to... Oh, no, wait. No, they're all so goddamn long here, folks. All right. As always, you can write into the show, JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Again, that is JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Let's get to our first.
Give it to you. He gon' give it to you. X gon' give it to you. He gon' give it to you.
This one comes in from iMorph. X, gonna give it to you. This is written in very short. This is the shortest one we're going to have. Her, I'm pregnant. Me, I see. Narrator, wedding bells. Action description. A few years pass. Her, I might be pregnant. It might not be yours. Insert outro to get smart. So he literally just linked me to Don Adams walking his ass through the offices of Get Smart here at the end. Me, bye, Felicia. Infraction, unprotected sex with a rando while married. Penalty, divorce. Oh, I got custody of our two kids. Turns out she was not pregnant. I still divorced her. Now, if you've never listened to anything that we've done before, then normally these stories are very much reminiscent of wreckage that comes along with a relationship. You know, this is stories of people who are not over their exes. You know, and that's what the titular ex has gone, given it to them, in that they have been bitten bad by a bad situation that they've only made worse by their continued longing for those that did them wrong. However, iMorph apparently just made the right move. You know, normally these emails that I get written are, Justin, can I have your advice? Should I still be pining for my ex? And many of them are literally just, hey, I need someone outside my own head to tell me that I just need to get the hot hell out of here. But iMorph apparently is taking a different path to this. He literally just wants a high five, because that's the way that you do it. Like, if you feel, something tells me that this was, you know, her saying that she might be pregnant by a stranger was not the first clue that both you and her had that this relationship might not exactly be the happily ever after type. Something tells me that you might have had sneaking suspicions and maybe y'all haven't been the most happy leading up to it. So it sounds like everything was very, very, very well done. And I hope that you busted her when she was trying to sneak out a booty call on a shoe phone. Let's go ahead and get to our second email. Fuck with the you to get it on your own. X gonna deliver to your knock knock. Open up the door, it's real. With the non-stop pop pop and stainless steel. Go hard, getting busy with it. But I got such a good heart, I'll make a... All right, this one comes in from Beethoven's Ninth in D minor. Beethoven's Ninth in D minor. It's another one of those audiobooks here, folks. So I'm just going to do my best to read it. To begin with, it was never a clean break, at least not until I pulled the Montana and walked out the fucking door. Like I said, some of the chaos in the first few on and offs of our relationship had been caused by my vices. There were never anything major, but I was a difficult person when I was sober and when I wasn't. That makes it difficult to carry out any kind of serious relationship. I finally got my act together, got myself cleaned up, and decided to go back to college. I'd gotten a taste what life was like with only a high school diploma and a blue-collar job, and man, I didn't like it. I wanted more. I was ready to work my ass off to get it. It was around that time she came back into my life. Things between us had never been better. I even got her a job where I worked when she was tired of what she was doing and was looking for something new. I know, terrible idea, never shit where you eat. I had turned over a new leaf, and I was loving the woman by my side. I wanted to give her everything that she deserved. Fast forward. The two of us had just gotten back from a trip to the beach together. She'd been acting emotionally distant the whole time, and I couldn't figure out why. She wanted me to come meet her, and I did. Through a lot of tears, she told me that she needed a break, although she still wanted to be friends. I tried to talk her out of it, to dig a little bit deeper on what was going on and why she felt this way, but I got nowhere. I was a sucker. She had me by the heartstrings, so I agreed to her terms. I remember thinking at the time, foolishly, that if she didn't want to be romantically involved with me anymore, I could at least see her now and again. I was crushed. It was the kind of emotional devastation that manifests itself physically. For weeks, I had this pain in my chest. It felt heavy and at the same time empty. Heartache is a difficult thing to describe, but there are poets and songwriters who can do it more eloquently than I can. Once you've felt it, though, you never forget it. There were nights where I couldn't sleep and days where I couldn't eat. I'd frequently break down in tears, seemingly at random. All right, this is a little maudlin. This is a little melodramatic, but let me go ahead and co-sign. This is your editor here talking. Let me go ahead and co-sign on the fact that, like, there are physical manifestations to emotional reactions. Like, I know anecdotally, when I was moving from Florida to California, I got, like, hives all over my body. Like, I was so nervous about so many different things that meant so much to me that I literally got myself sick. I gave myself a skin condition by worrying. And although I've been through breakups, I don't know if I've been through a completely despondent breakup. Like, I've never been in a bombshell, ears ringing, that kind of relationship. The ones that have hurt the most, oddly enough, were ones that didn't become relationships. Those have always hurt me far more than relationships themselves. But in those situations, especially when they happened to me, that I was in college, and like you were never more than 2 degrees within a circle of friends away from the next person that the person that you were into was now with, oh man, that was a driving railroad spike right up the urethra. We go back to the letter. Strangely, in terms of our relationship, not much changed at first. I still saw her fairly often, both at work and outside of work. We still slept together as well. Oh boy. Once, after giving her a ride somewhere, I was dropping her off at her car. One thing led to another, right there in the front seat of my truck in an empty parking lot. It was some of the most intense, passionate, and inexplicably mind-blowing sex that I've ever had. Despite the frequent contact and great sex, something was missing. I couldn't feel that hole in my chest. And it's fill, not feel. I don't know why I said it like that. Over time, things began to change. She started spending less and less time with me on the outside of work, and eventually we stopped sleeping together. That timing couldn't have been better in hindsight. She started sleeping around with a couple other guys in addition to me. One of them was a guy that we both worked with. That was hard enough to deal with by itself, but what made it even harder is that he gave her VD. I got myself checked just to be safe. Thankfully, everything came back clean, but having to see him at work was nearly as painful as if I hadn't. No. You'd rather just take the seeing the dude without the, you know, milky discharge. There were huge swings between how she treated me in public and how she treated me in private. It seemed like she wanted to be with me, but only on her terms. It was conditional love. No matter what I did, I couldn't get away. Each time I tried to distance myself from her at the advice of my friends, she'd pull me back in. She had me by the balls, and she knew it. I'm not sure if she was deriving pleasure from my suffering. It was entirely possible. Now, listen, man, when I told you that this shit was a novella, I just want... How long... What percentage of this story do you think we're through right now here in the chat room? In the chat, somebody just write a percentage, right? How long you think we are? Whiskey Wolf goes with a very aggressive 25%, 40%, 85%, 55%. We are roughly 30% into this story. This is why I had to do a special podcast, because it ain't bad. Listen, man, it's well written. I'm really enjoying it. But holy shit, these are long emails. I can't just do an hour of, like, you know, going through this whole other stuff and then, like, you know, weaving in, like, oh, I'd like to do crack cocaine with Bobo the Clown and Mr. Ed and a Hardee's, like, you know, and all the other bits we have on the show. I can't just weave one of those in the center of this. We continue. Things finally came to a head around Christmas that year. I was woken up sometime around midnight to hear her calling on my phone. Wait, hold on. I think this is the long form version of one that I actually did read on the show. What the hell? Let's read it anyway. She had gone to a party with a bunch of friends and had gotten completely shit-faced, knee-walking drunk. She was calling my name over and over again, and she couldn't calm down. She was starting to get belligerent. One of them had grabbed her phone and called me. After she had explained what was going on, I told him I'd be there as soon as I could, threw some clothes on, and drove across the city to some shitty apartment complex near the university. When I walked in the door, it felt like a scene from a movie. There wasn't exactly a vinyl record scratch, but somebody turned the music way down and everyone turned to look at me. They were all in various states of inebriation from who knows how many kinds of substances. "Where is she?" I asked flatly. They pointed at the porch. I walked outside and there she was, alone, slumped over in a chair, half wrapped in a blanket, mumbling incoherently. I reached down, picked her up, and carried her inside. As I walked through the apartment, everyone just looked at their shoes. The few who did look at me were met with the cold stare of a man who'd been awoken in the middle of the night to pick up his drunk ex-girlfriend from a greasy underage party in the shittier side of town. Most of them were also my co-workers, and they knew that over the next few days they were going to see me at work, where they more or less reported to me. I carried her down the stairs across the parking lot and got her situated in the front seat of my truck. Someone started clapping and hollered down from one of the porches to an adjacent building. "You must be his name. She's been yelling for you all damn night." "Yeah, that's me," he said. "Sorry about the racket." "It's okay. You're a better man than I am. I would have left her ass here." I don't know why I'm giving this a southern accent. I started the drive back across the city, and I was sure that she had blood alcohol poisoning and that I needed to take her to the hospital. Drunk as she was adamant not to take her there. She was underage, and they might get her parents involved, and she'd be in all sorts of trouble. I obliged against my better judgment. Instead, I took her back to my place. Stayed up with her while she got all the alcohol out of her system, one way or another. Once she finally passed out, I stayed up to make sure that she was still breathing. Eventually, the sun started to come up, and I had to get ready for a 6 a.m. shift at work. I left a note next to the bed explaining what happened. Figured she wouldn't remember much. To my surprise, she never spoke a word to me about that night. Not even so much as a thank you or an I'm sorry. I think that was the proverbial straw. She had broken my heart, showed no remorse for it. She continued to lead me on by the heartstrings like a dog on a leash. Every time I tried to get away, she yanked just hard enough to keep me in line. I gave her everything I had and cared for her when she needed me the most, and all I got in return was a broken heart and a heap of a credit card debt. Short time later, a new job opportunity landed in my lap, and I decided to take it. Over the next few weeks, I decided that if I was going to make a clean break, it had to be a clean break right now. The last year had been absolute shit, and I'd had enough. On my last day of work, she was standing near the door. I walked right the fuck past her without saying a word. I just gave her a knowing glance, walked out the door and never looked back, started my new job the next day and decided it was going to be a fresh start. Now, I made a lot of changes in my life since that day. There have been a lot of small victories like quitting smoking and getting my own place. And I've had a share of big victories like graduating from college with a bachelor's degree, landing a full-time white-collar job with a good salary and using 120 pounds. I've spent the last several years making myself into the man that I want to be. Sometimes when things get tough, I've taken a walk down the hall of supervillains, and it's given me the motivation to keep going. That's some days. Other days, it's not. But I soldier on because life is a grand fucking adventure. I know this is long, respectfully, yours, Beethoven's 9th. In D major. All right, so we did read a shorter version of this on the show, but this brings a lot more context. And let me just say this to Beethoven. Roll over, Beethoven. Tell Tchaikovsky the news. Secondly, I'd like to tell you. Okay. So a few things that I read in there that I find to be red flags. Number one, you made this lady a supervillain. She is not a supervillain. She's a fuck-up. Now, there's a lot of times in life, and I find it to be a real problem with smart people, is that smart people, people who have a good sense of where they are in the world, have big imaginations and they have great problem-solving brains. Problem is that imaginations and problem-solving brains very often can be disastrous next to each other. Because you are very often looking at a black and white coloring book of a world and drawing in whatever the hot hell you want inside of it, because what is paramount is you solving the problem. That's what makes smart people smart. They can't sit by and let a problem go unresolved. We are pattern-recognizing creatures, and they are goddamn it going to recognize that pattern. But a lot of what you're saying here, a lot of the language here, Beethoven, is, you know, she pulled me along by my heartstrings. She knew what she was doing when she just gave me a little bit more. Now, that might be true. I don't know your relationship enough to say that it ain't. But here's what I do know. That it would be highly, highly, highly likely if she were just an underage chick with enough of a substance abuse problem and a lonely way of looking at the world, that she didn't know what the hell she wanted. She knew that many times she found herself wanting you. And the rest of the time, she was either confused, self-destructive, or just a plain idiot. So as happy as I am that you, a lawyer listener to this podcast, has now begun a new life where you are doing better than you were before. Hallelujah. Mazel tov to you. I feel like your next step is recognizing that this person is not evil. This person is just a fuck up. Because here's why that lesson's important. The next person that you are in a relationship with, you are going to invariably start matching, comparing, and contrasting the actions of what happened with this lady to the actions that are going to happen in your next relationship. It's just the law of the land. It's just what happens. And, man, I'm dropping such hot fire, my mic stand melted. And when that happens, all right, when that happens, you're going to need the cleanest, best understanding of your old relationship. Here's a true fact, man. I lose respect for people, friends, that go on too much about, well, my bitch ex-girlfriend, my bitch ex-wife, my asshole ex-boyfriend, my asshole ex-husband. I always kind of lose a little bit of respect. Not that I don't believe them, because why not? Yeah, sure, I believe you. You're my friend. The other people aren't. Whatever. It's just that if you have a situation like that, it's always just better to leave them be in the past. Just let it go. Like, just have it be gone from your life. Who wants to have a toxic memory? Because either you're going to be in a situation where you understand you did wrong and you don't want to repeat your mistakes, or they were just a defective person that was looking to bring terrible shit into your life. And if the latter's the case, if they really just wanted to bring terrible, horrible, no good, very bad things into your everyday existence, then there ain't a whole lot of lessons to learn from that. You know, well, how many lessons you got to learn from being rained on, aside from bring an umbrella and get the fuck out of the rain? Now, if you screwed up doing something, if there were elements of your life that you fed into to make a unstable or bad situation worse, that's worth learning, because that's going to come in handy in the next relationship that you have. We move on to the war cow. War cow, I asked War cow to serialize his story because it was so goddamn long. All right. War cow writes. Oh, wait, hold on. Let's play the song. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya. Fuck with for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to ya. War cow, right? So if we're gonna serialize this, I'm going to have to give a bit more detail on some of the other things that happened during these relationships. And hell, if anyone's still interested, I can tell these stories about my other fucked up relationships before and since. So this story all begins in my second year of college. My previous relationship started in my sophomore year of high school and ended a couple months prior. During the intervening months, I went to Akon, a Dallas area anime convention, and there I met a girl. Let's call this girl T. T and I started talking after the con, and in August, we started dating. We had several things that we found interesting. We're both into gaming, sci-fi, anime, and cosplay, and we both identify as genderqueer. Starting out, those things seemed really good, and I attached quickly, a running theme, as you will find. My friends all think the whole relationship is a bad idea and can't see what I see in her. I ignore what I now use as pretty much the big warning sign in a relationship and continue anyway. December comes, and I start working longer hours on my break, and one cold morning, I get to see several status updates about how she was going to hang out with this quote-unquote guy she likes, and how she loved cuddling with her quote-unquote boyfriend. Me, both being at work and 3 hours away in Houston, came to the conclusion that she was not talking about me. I confront her, and she said she needed something more physical, and she didn't want to tell me because she didn't want to hurt me. I break it off and get drunk with one of my best friends. So again, I told him to serialize this. I'm just going to read. This is what he wrote. I told him to serialize it. This is my fault. Last time I left you, I just broken up. This is like the Netflix version of a serialized ex going to give it to you. So we're just going to go right like credits, ending theme. Next episode in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Last time I left you, I had just broken up with T after being cheated on for the first time ever. During the intermittent time, I have casual sex with a friend of mine we will call JR. It was selfish. It was not great, but it was something I needed. More on this later. Man, we're setting a lot of shit up here, Rorcow. It's now late March, early April, and I go to another convention, Anime Matsuri, in Houston. There I give out my phone number to something like 30 people over the course of the weekend, and my phone is completely dead at the end of the weekend because I forgot to bring a charger. When I get home and finally charge my phone, I'm swarmed with texts from one girl who claims to have met me the year before. I've got zero recollection of her, and we start talking, and she tells me her name is Kitty, first red flag, and that she is a hardcore, quote-unquote, lesbian, second red flag. She just broke off an engagement. Third, run, you fool! And she is starting rehab this week. Fourth, are you kidding me? And you still took things further? And she gets into a wreck and doesn't know what hospital she ended up at. Sign of heavy drug use, if you don't know. Which also, for those keeping score on their home programs, is a fifth red flag. Anyway, despite all this, we keep talking. And eventually, a couple days later, she asked me out. And I say yes. Over the next few months, I give up caffeine and try to help her with rehab, huge mistake, and loan her my favorite jacket. I would not get this jacket back for several months. All right, Poe Dameron, calm down. I get a tattoo of something I have wanted for a really long time and tell her I got it for her. Then she and one of my best friends, Matt, go out to a bar. She ditches us and gets high as a fucking kite and the next day dumps me out of the fucking blue. Oh, man, War Cow. We got a lot to talk about as soon as we get to the end of this. So the last time, again, X gon' give it to you. Credit. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. X gon' give it to you. War Cow serialized. So the last time we left off, I'd been dumped by Kitty. I am crushed. Why? I don't know why, but she honestly did not treat me that well, and my friends didn't like her. It's a couple weeks later, and it's Matt's 21st birthday. We all hang out and go take a shower before we go out and hit the nearest gay bar, and I get a call. I almost don't pick it up. It's Kitty. 5 more minutes, and I would have been out the door and on my way to have an awesome time with an awesome friend. Instead, I got to spend the night talking to Kitty as she is near having an overdose. Yes, you heard it here first, folks. I spent my best friend's 21st birthday talking to my then ex in the eyes of almost all my friends, the most horrible person in the world, as she had an OD. She eventually gets to a hospital and is safe. I call and apologize to Matt at some point during the ordeal, and then something stupid happens. I get back together with her. For those of you who are just listening to this, I'm just repeatedly side-eyeing the camera. Like, that's the Maybe, hold on. Maybe I just got to read it again. Yes, you heard it here first, folks. I spent my best friend's 21st birthday talking to my then ex, and in the eyes of almost all my friends, the most horrible person in the world, as she had an overdose. She eventually gets to a hospital and is safe. I call and apologize to Matt at some point during the ordeal, and then something stupid happens. I get back together with her. No, it didn't get better. Yes, this is the thing that I do. I get back into a relationship with her. So this is last a couple weeks. I get my jacket back, and then she breaks up with me again. Right after the breakup, I end up being consoled by none other than T. Yes, I get consoled by T and eventually end up asking her back out. Why? I don't know. This is not a series of smart decisions. Workout has been one of our best emailers, and certainly has a great level of honesty that I always appreciate. So Workout, allow me to do you the favor right back. I'm gonna give you some hashtag real talk. Okay, you ready? You're codependent. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. It's just something that you need to know about yourself. And whenever you find yourself in a situation like the one that you have, you need to ask, how much of this is just because I have a compulsion for human contact? Now, let's understand what that is. Let's understand what compulsion is. Compulsion is that element of your brain that squirts enough dopamine whenever something happens. This is the baseline for chemical addictions. When people say chemical addictions, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're taking chemicals. It just means that when you look at your brain chemistry, and this, I have no idea if this is true, but it sounds good, so I'm just going to roll with it. I think this is what chemical addiction means. I think it's when you look at somebody's brain chemistry and you see what an addiction is, you understand that their brain is flooded with dopamine to the point where they are doing things that they wouldn't otherwise. Now, there's a lot of compulsive behavior that we have as humans. Eating, breathing, right? And even healthy social compulsive behavior, being around friends, having a support system, yada, yada, yada. What I believe you have is a compulsion for human contact. You can't help but be in situations where you need to share an element of your life. Now, why is that bad? Because whether or not one has presented itself to you, you are seeing giants instead of windmills. You are getting yourself into situations where you are not really getting human contact. You have loved and crave contact so much that you are willing to do anything to get it. You are willing to step over your own logic and reason. You are willing to damage the relationships that you have with your friends so you can get into situations that are not healthy and aren't human contact. Now let's go ahead and understand where that is damaging. If you convince yourself that this lady, Kitty, who again, she has got a lot of problems, man. Like, a lot of issues. If you get into this situation and you believe that this is something for which you can share a moment, you can share and grow as partners, that means that you are damaging that baseline for the next time that you are with somebody. So it's pretty clear that you are a compulsive dater, but what you saw with T, where situations in a long-distance... long-distance relationship, like, charge that to the game, dude. Like, the fact that she wanted something more physical because she lives 3 hours from you, like, sorry, man, that's just part of that. Like, that's literally just part of you scratching off that lottery ticket and saying, maybe this will be a thing. But let's just look at some of this jealousy here. You know, you confront her about you know, the fact that, like, she's like, oh, this guy he likes and boyfriend, yada, 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 right? Like, she didn't handle that in the best way possible. But you're going to find that the world is infinitely better if, especially in relationships, you are the one that can take the higher road. This, I might not know what the exactual definition of chemical dependency is, but I know this as sure as I'm born. You will always, 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 always benefit from being the one who can take the high road. You will always benefit from being the one that when somebody is immature and somebody says, tells you via social media or is trying to absolve themselves a relationship or start a conversation where she lets you know that she doesn't want to be in an exclusive relationship with you by way of her Twitter or Facebook, then you are going to live a better life if your reaction can be, well, hell, man, why don't you just tell me earlier? I'm not mad at the action. I'm mad at the delivery method. Because if you're able to, like, healthy relationships beget healthy relationships. In fact, take this. I want everybody who's listening. Take this as a personal challenge. This is something that I've tried to live by my entire life. Be friends with your exes. All of them. Try to be as friendly as you can with your exes. A, it is a sign of good character. B, you can build up your muscle as being the person who can take the high road. C, you are going to be forced to learn life-saving techniques. Like when you are at the end of a relationship, get the fuck out for 6 months and then reestablish contact. Four, you're going to learn to beat things like residue jealousy out of your psyche when you see pictures of your ex and somebody else smiling on Facebook. And the most important is that it is normally a way where you can preserve your standing and your sanity in a relationship. And if you can do that, if you can be better, if you can understand what worked and what didn't, what was my fault, what was their fault, then the next time you're in a relationship, it's just going to be a lot better for you. It's just going to be a better situation. Man, this got really Dr. Phil. But hell, when we're talking about X gonna give it to you, what the hell else do you want? Email us, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com, if you would like to send in any kind of question, let alone an ex gonna give it to you. If we get enough of these things, maybe we'll come back and do an extra one, or we'll work them into the jury podcast. Follow me, Justin R. Young. I want to take a moment out right now, though, to thank everybody who supports us on Patreon. This has been, we are now an official 12 days into my first year making independent media. This is the kind of stuff that I want to do for the rest of my life. This is the kind of stuff that I want to continue to do bigger and better. I want everybody who's listening to this to feel that they are a part of something, because God damn it, you are. You are a part of our movement to have freedom, open, and honest conversations on this podcast and everything else. But I want to thank everybody who supports us right there, patreon.com/JURY, for your support. It has meant the world, and we are just doing great with it. I very, 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 very much appreciate it. Let's go ahead and send us off. Till next time, my name is Justin Robert Young. X gon' give it to you, he gon' give it to you, X gon' give it to you, he gon' give it to you. First we gonna rock, then we gonna roll. Please don't die. Let it pop, don't let it go. X gon' give it to you, he gon' give it to you, X gon' give it to you, he gon' give it to you, X gon' give it to you. Fuck with you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to you.
it's real. With the nonstop pop up from stainless steel. Go hard, getting busy with it. But I got a, such a good heart, I'll make a motherfucker wonder if he did him damn right. And I'll do it again, cause I'm right and I got to win. Oh, first we're gonna rock, then we're gonna roll, then we let it pop, don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya, X gon' give it to ya.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.